I guess I get my opportunity. And I chose not to go through slides and explain them, because if I did that, the Super Bowl party would probably be over by the time we finished. There is a special place in our hearts and with the team that went this time. And when you go to something like this, you draw back on whatever experience you had. So when I first went, it was drawn back to our 2012 team that went. And I tell you what, we missed all of you who were with us there. And you were talked about in many places. Jack, they talked about the strong guy. You know, it was really neat to see how much of an impact everyone had with the people there. And this time was different, as all the ladies attested to. It was relationship building. And for me, I don't know how in the world I ever got roped into, but I preached at three churches there while I was there. And it was a privilege, really was, to be able to preach. And what I spoke on was 1 Peter, talking about the hope of the gospel. And it all culminated with a verse that I had shared with the mission team. And as Bobby had said, there's a lot of planning and everything. There's a lot going on for the year before, a lot that maybe all of you don't appreciate. I appreciate Fred and his willingness to help us and organize. And if you know me, I would decide, oh, we need to plan something. And Fred is Mr. Organized, and he helped me to keep a focus on that. But at one of our meetings that we had, I had shared a verse with them, and it's 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." And it was a privilege to be able to do that and to share the hope that was in me with the Liberian people. And as Bobby had said, you go there and you try to filter all these things out and put your own emotions aside. And I was very privileged to have my wife with me this time. And I'm not even going to look over there, because then I'll get choked up. But to be able to experience what they go through daily in their daily lives, and you just never know what impression is going to have the biggest effect on your life. And I had a discussion with Abraham, and for those of you who went last time, you remember Abraham Gardor. He was the electrician where they don't have electricity. So he, I don't know if that was a good profession to choose or not. But Abraham and I had become close last time, and he was the one, if you remember, I gave him my shirt that said Newland on the back, so he said, "Now I am Abraham Newland." And he wore that shirt in honor of me. He found that shirt and wore it. But he sat and talked to me, and he said, "I would like to share a little bit of my testimony with you." And I said, "Okay, great," and I didn't get it on video, and I really wish I had, because I'm not going to represent it properly. But I'm only saying this because of the willingness to being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, the hope that's in you. Abraham had a very rough background, very rough start to his life. His parents divorced when he was young, around 11 years old, he said. And he said his dad went one way, his mom went another, and he had nowhere to go. So he lived with his uncle. His uncle happened to work for the embassy, so he knew a lot of American people. And I tell you what, Simon, you can appreciate being over here as our only black person in the audience, while we know how it feels on the other side, because we get white man, and we were, and you know what I mean. And it's not in any type of a racial tone. It is in love, because then they're waving, or they give you the thumbs up. It was very special. But Abraham had a rough start, and his parents split up, and he lived with his uncle. And the reason I bring up the white man is because the rebels, this was back in the early 90s, the rebels broke into their home, and they were looking through some of his pictures, and his uncle had a lot of pictures of white people. White people represent wealth. The Western people represent wealth to them. So they figured he was somebody in the government, and they were rebels, so they didn't like him. And I don't want it to be so graphic, but Abraham's uncle was killed in Abraham's lap, and they took the blood and rubbed it all over Abraham as an 11-year-old boy. And they said, now you are going to be one of us. You are a rebel with us. And they gave him tattoos on his arm and on his chest that are the tattoos of a rebel. And what this was back when Charles Taylor was the president of Liberia, there was many warlords that would start up, and they were all fighting this common enemy, but they also fought themselves, and there's just, it was really a terrible time. Well, just to condense it a little bit, for 2 years he fought with the rebels from 11 to 13, and he said he was in Monrovia, and he happened to run into his mom on whatever, wherever he was going, because he knew more of the rebel life. And his mom says, Abraham, you should come home and live now. So he left the rebels. And again, we can't even understand how that must go, how he can just walk away or leave. But he needs somebody to, that's a 13-year-old boy, to take care of him. So he went and lived with his mom. And his mom had her house broken into by the government workers. Well, they saw Abraham had the rebel tattoos, so they said he was a rebel. So they were going to kill him. And his mom says, you kill him, you might as well kill me too, because you're not going to. And again, it seems disjointed, but we don't even know what it really was like. But through all that, they were able to let him go. And they said, you just need to stay away from the rebels. Well, I'm kind of bouncing around, but I'm trying to get to a point of, at one point he was shot. And he was sharing with me that what most of the people would do when you were a rebel is, if they could, they would mark you as a rebel. Not just the tattoos, because the tattoos is just a line of dots in some order. But they would remove a foot, remove a hand, and you would be marked as a rebel, and you also wouldn't be able to fight as well. So he got shot in the back. He said the bolt was stuck between his shoulder blade and his back that was in there, and he went to see a doctor. The rebels took him to see a doctor, and the doctor said, we should just cut your arm off because you are a rebel. And but then the doctor looked at him. He said, you look familiar. And Abraham said, I'm sorry, you don't. And there was no recollection from Abraham. And the doctor said, you invaded my village one time. And Abraham thought, I'm sure I did. But what happened was God watching over Abraham from a very young age to where he was at now. And I don't even know what age he was when he was shot. But the doctor said the soldiers wanted to come in, and they were going to rape my wife and daughter, and then they were going to kill us. And you stopped them. You told them to just leave them be. And we don't need anything here. So he had them leave. He was not a leader. He was just one of the rebels, but they listened to him. So, excuse me. So the doctor looked at him and said, I will save your arm. And he did surgery and he removed the bullet, and he's got the scar on his back now of the bullet wound, and the bullet was taken out. His purpose of telling me was not to say, look at my hard life. It was, look at how God protected me. And I think similarly to what the rest of them have said is, we are very sheltered in what we have here, what we do here, and we don't really appreciate God's protection in our lives and how he does order our paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And how God directed Abraham's path, he didn't even know what was going on, but God had ordained that Abraham, and what he did, Abraham said, and look at me now. I am sitting here visiting with my Christian brother from America. And to think that God had that plan for us. And he had this church plan to connect with these Liberian people. I have a short little video that I'm going to show. I figured it'd be best to just let the pictures roll and with the music, because if I didn't, I would, like I said, be talking much too long. But after this, we are going to sing In Christ Alone before the communion part of the service. So I hope you can appreciate the pictures. They go fast, and there's just so much to share. And again, like Jenny said, if you want to ask anything else, I'd be more than willing to talk.